Welcome to Big Blend Radio's first Friday Toast to the Arts and Park Show with the National Parks Arts Foundation, who are known for their amazing artist residencies in parks across the country. Hey, everybody. We are super excited to welcome back Ben Cosgrove to the show. Ben is a traveling musician. He is awesome. His music is beautiful. And we first met him back in, I was looking it up, August 2022. And it actually feels so far away, that time frame.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, it
barely
feels like
a year
years.
ago, though, you know?
Yeah, just over a year ago when he was the National Parks Arts Foundation Artist in Residence in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And so we're going to catch up with him today on his travels because he's like Nancy and I. It's a nonstop road trip for him. He performs all over the country. And he just released his new album. It's called Bearings, like a B-E-A-R, like a bear. Bearings. And it is
Or like a
absolutely
compass.
exquisite. Oh, I like the comp. Yeah, that makes sense for you, right? But I like bears too. can I change it to bearlings? But everyone, go to
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
bencosgrove.com. Yeah, no, but it's a beautiful album. Nancy and I have been listening to it all day on Spotify. And
Oh, thank you.
yeah,
It's
so
good
do you
road
have
trip
an
music,
actual,
I've been told.
I think so. I want to play it in a park. Do you have an actual physical album or is it mostly online that
Yeah.
people get?
Oh,
Oh,
no. People
cool.
can buy, yeah, I've been selling a lot. It's available on, all the streaming stuff, but then also on CD and on vinyl, LP.
No
And
way.
I've been surprised
Ooh.
with, with this and also my last album, the LPs sell so much faster than the CDs do. I think there's just,
That's
even though
exciting.
they're like a little more expensive, like I've
Yeah.
sold out of LPs for the previous record.
Wow. I know
So
people
there's
doing
something
cassettes.
peculiar about, I don't know, I'd be a bad like store manager. I never would have expected that would be how it would
But
go,
you
but
know what?
it's
Because
sort of
your music, I
encouraging.
know this sounds dumb, but your music is listening music, right? It's you yours is it's an experience. Nancy and I have been listening to it and then, we were just like, oh, Nancy wants to make videos. She was like, I want to make a video to this song. I want to make a video to that song. I'm like, I'll ask him, if that's okay. Cause she's like, she wants to, cause it's all nature. And
Oh,
I
of
know
course it's
it.
okay. That'd be great. I
Yes,
love,
Nancy, she's
I
sitting
get
right
people
here.
send me videos every once in a while.
Yeah.
Hi,
She knows
Nancy.
she really wants to. He says hi. Ben says hi. But she's like, I want to do a video because the music is beautiful. And you can see, like for us, there is some, it, there is movement in nature, and actually, an artist we work with. She's on our show every month, Victoria. She's a contemporary figurative artist. And as I was listening to your music, and I think we probably went through this the last conversation, but it's happening again. I was like, you're
That's okay.
capturing
It's been
movement.
over a year. We've got a
I know, and I'm just getting younger, but and my brain's getting better. Who knows? But she paints figurative, contemporary figurative art. Is that movement like so she's known for her cats but she's like do not call me the cat lady and she paints all kinds of things not just cats but it's like when a cat is about to like swat something it's the movement before the swat that she captures and your music has
Ooh,
that where you know what I mean she gets those little moments and I feel like that in your music that you have those moments and you feel like you're
I'm
traveling but
very
then
happy to
times
hear that.
hiking. Yeah, does that make sense to you? Like that,
It
it's
to
interesting.
totally. I mean, that's movement is all I think about. I feel like that's what most of my music and especially this album have always been about. I just think
Well,
it's like it's a good thing that for like piano music to illustrate, because you can't. I mean,
yeah.
not to get too heady about it too early in the conversation, but there's just like a
Oh,
way about
come on.
like how music works for you. Like it unfolds over time, right? So the only way you can like illustrate a gesture or something is by like planting little points over space.
No, and even when you look at a piano, how the keys move, not on the keys themselves, but the actual strings, the hammers, like ding, ding, ding. There's something magical to me about watching that. I know the keys, it's all beautiful, but I like the inside of a piano because it moves. It kind of reminds me of nature, of legs moving, like cricket legs. And that's now
Yeah.
I'm starting to be
Oh.
weird.
You would no, you would have loved to watch the recording process for this album because it was all like we kind of took the piano all apart and like put fabric everywhere to kind of mute the strings and stuff.
Oh.
So you can see all of the guts moving around. So I think in listening to it, you should be able to hear stuff like the pedals moving and all the keys triggering and the hammer hitting the strings, all that stuff.
That's what I was hearing,
Just
and that's
because I feel
really
like that helps like show how like all of these small actions are creating this sense of, steadiness or movement or whatever you're feeling. You get to hear all like the component parts of it, I feel like is important.
with your playing, you have so much dynamic, and I think that's what Nancy and I really enjoy, is there's a tenderness to the music and a beauty, but you give your dynamics are really interesting to you have to go through it more than once to really start to like hone in, but you manage to use space between notes to create dynamics, whether it's now I'm going to rush it, so now we're going to have more notes, and then we're going to use space between, and also volume, and there's a tenderness that I think pianos have that. And an organ can, in a way, like the old school organs can do it, and you can do it also because of the pedals, right? Having the bass.
But man,
But there's a.
you've got to be good at an organ to do it.
Yeah,
Organ
you
is
do.
such a crazy instrument.
I dig them, though. But your piano playing, having the dynamic, people always go, oh, dynamic is volume. I'm like, no, there's a touch, there's a tactile touch of almost, it's not like a guitarist will bend a note. So you kind of have this. I don't know how to explain it, but you're not bending a note, but you have a soft to, hard or vice versa. Like,
Well,
okay, now it's fast,
it's funny you say it, though. Like, I feel like this sounds like something we might have talked about last time, but I don't listen to a lot of piano music, which is like a weird feature of me as a piano
Oh,
performer. Like
that's more that you're
all of
pure
my
about
friends
you.
are all my friends are like folk singers. They're like the guitar players and banjo players and violinists, and I think a lot of my life has been spent kind of like hearing them do cool things on their instruments and trying to figure out how to get that effect out of a piano. So I wound up a very like peculiar piano player, but it is still like the instrument I choose to do all this stuff with, because I don't know, I feel like you can when you're playing a piano, you can kind of be everything. You can illustrate so many things at once. It can go
And you can pick
solo,
up
it can
any
go so high,
instrument.
you can play 10 notes at once,
I mean, that's a limit of singing, that. Except for Janis Joplin, she can do chords, She sings on chords,
Yeah,
I
exactly.
think.
Or like if you're a Tuvan throat singer,
Oh my God, don't start me on that. That's a whole thing. That's a whole thing. I'm like, that's a rabbit hole for me. I'm not going to, it's because it's like you, I'll go down a rabbit hole. So I'm going to behave on that. But I'm so
Yeah,
into that. I am so into that because
next interview we can talk about
So let's.
the
I feel like now I want a didgeridoo, but anyway, so because it's the same
tuba
thing, that circular breathing, right? And so, yeah, all right, that's a rabbit hole. But I want to go to the album cover because what I find interesting is the album cover. It reminds me of a of going to a gallery, right, and seeing paintings, and then
Oh.
the outside is like the matting of a painting, right? But then the painting part is got braille, what looks like to me like braille. Right. And yet that's where the
Yeah.
color is. So this is very fascinating to me. Tell me about the cover because it's cool.
I love this cover. So the piece is actually just that thing in the middle, which is like this little sushi roll. It's made by this amazing artist that I love. She's a friend of mine in Alaska, named Katie Ione Crane. And that piece is part of a series she did where she would take little cards with braille on them and wrap transparency with the landscape photograph around it to kind of get both layers of it at once.
Oh.
And then I kind of like having it looking very lonely in the center of the frame.
But that's part of the
What
movement to get
the
to that, to get to it. You know what I mean?
yes,
It's like go to the
and the
cover.
landscape photograph is like it's kind of blurry itself. So you feel kind of at sea, and then the braille says, apparently I can't read braille, but I've confirmed that this is what it says. It says, every spot that we are standing in was once in a different place.
Oh,
So I thought
wow.
for this album, which is all about movement and orientation and like figuring out where you are, getting your bearings, I thought it was just like framing that piece kind of in the middle of this sort of like big lonely void felt like exactly the way to.
That's fascinating too. I mean, you think about you being like in Hawaii, okay, no, a national park like that. That's like the epitome of movement, right? Alaska too. Look at
Yes, oh,
Alaska,
totally.
how that's moved. But like you have the song Volcano, and it's funny because Nancy and I both just like listen to music, and we don't know what song's what, and you know, we just like, oh, I like this, you know, and we're listening, and I'm like,
Wait,
oh,
that's allowed too, though.
that's allowed. Yeah, you're allowed to just be immersed in the music. And Nancy and I are listening, and she's like, well, I see waterfalls and this and that, and I'm like, oh, I'm seeing completely this, that, the other. We're like had completely different experiences, and this is the beauty of music, right? You're allowed to. But then I had to go look. I'm like, which song is this, so I can, you know, get it straight with you. And I'm like, Volcano. I'm like, oh, I get that too. But like, it is because there's so much movement in that song. You know, it could be
Yeah, it's
whatever you want.
specifically about, yeah, that I did a bunch of volcano work last summer because right before I talked to you, I think I talked to you the day I got to Hawaii, so I was already pretty delirious. But I had just come from California where I was doing a project with this team from NASA who have been NASA has been employing these volcanologists to like we were in Lava Beds National Monument and I
Oh,
was with
that's
them at
right.
their artist in residence to kind of like
Yeah.
and they were kind of explaining me you know everything they knew about how volcanoes work and I was kind of helping them by like you know carrying their gear and stuff and asking them stupid questions and it wound up being the perfect prep for my I'm in Hawaii because I had just had this like kind of a perfect crash course in volcanology and then kind of like
Wow.
dumped in the middle of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and I had to kind of like apply that to everything I was learning about what was around me there.
It's
So
amazing.
that song
Like,
is equally inspired by both of those places. It's a lot about kind of learning to look at a landscape that seems to you to be, you know, static and, you know, like you look at a mountain and it's there and it's a mountain. But if you can, learn to think of it as a moment in time and like a thing that is always kind of like moving and changing and is never going to be exactly the same for very long. It feels like a good way to look at the world to me.
I agree with you, and things are always moving. Look at climate change, right? I mean, that's a reality. And at the same time, too, you know, when you circle back around and you do so much travel, like we're all the nomads right now, right? And when you go to a
Yes,
place that
exactly.
you've been to before, there's iconic places and things. Like I have landmarks of things. And then when I know, like, oh, I know my way around because of these landmarks, I'm like, oh, you've been here too long. Time to go. And that sounds terrible, but it's true.
Totally.
It's totally like get out now. You need to go explore again. And then you come back to that place. Things it I love your cover, right? The sentence there about, you know, everything moves, because even if those iconic things have not moved, right? Something in between would have, which has already changed the landscape. You know?
Right.
Like a new store could come
Yeah,
in a
absolutely.
downtown that changes where that historic clock was or something, or in a park, this tree, maybe it's dying or something, and like it'll change, you know, the maybe a new plant has grown next to it and it's changing the makeup of the ecosystem. So everything is always changing, no matter what. It always is. And it's like once
Yeah.
you embrace that, and that's what I love your theme of moving, right? And you embrace that in the landscape, it makes you really start to understand the web of life even more. And that's something we forget as society, as human beings, we forget the web of life, because we're so busy on our phones or whatever we're doing in life that we forget. And I think like your
Or just
music
like
brings us back in.
trying to apply, yeah. I mean, yeah. And I've sort of been writing music about that sort of thing for a while, and I was just apply it to a different type of landscape. But yeah, I think fundamentally, I'm always just writing about like finding ballast in places that constantly change.
Yeah,
I
because
made
of
an
change.
album several years ago called Salt, which is all about like estuaries and places where like salt marshes and places where earthquakes happen, and like places where you like can't depend on the ground being underneath you when you want it to be, and then like how you might, and that kind of shapes the album in such a way that it's like it's supposed to sort of suggest that
I love that. Yeah, I
if you
think
don't
that.
worry about that, you wind up finding stability wherever you go, even if, you know, the details are shifting. If you know how to like find the horizon, you'll always be okay.
Do you feel that change has become your comfort zone?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I
Yeah,
feel like
it's.
I'm trying. I mean, I think any of us is always trying to find a balance between like finding things you can depend upon and accepting the reality of, you know, the world is unpredictable and like anything could be yanked out from under you at any moment. And
Yeah, and you have
but
to change your
I think
mind
that the thing
sometimes
that
too.
prepares you best for things like that is like acknowledging that like no one detail will ever be the same forever. You know, you have to look at like the broader picture and appreciate the things that do kind of
Well, have you seen things
hang
change
true
in
for you.
parks? Like when you're talking about change in travel and everything, right? And movement. Don't, are you seeing the actual changes of landscape?
I mean,
Like real changes.
the best example I can think of is Hawaii. Like
Yeah, right. That's massive. That's real. That's
yeah.
that's
Well,
it in your face,
it's
right?
very in your face and very, very explicit and very like it was. I was there kind of in between eruptions, but I spent a lot of my residency, honestly, mostly outside of the park, looking at a lot of those areas. North and east of the park, where the like 2018 eruption had really, really changed all these neighborhoods. You'll like drive down a street for 3 miles and then just be hit with a wall of lava, you know. And just kind
Yeah.
of thinking what that must have felt like in real time. And then like a couple months after I left, like it wasn't even a full season after I left, the second eruption or Kilauea began erupting again.
Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? Like how that just keep it just like, hello, you think this is what's happening today? No, it's not. And Nancy and I have had to learn that being on the road, that you know, there's that old saying like, don't put off what you can do today for tomorrow, you actually can't when you're on the road, because things change so quickly. And I mean, it can happen to you when you're, you know, staying in one place too. That's where the comfort zone, I feel like that's where you get in trouble more. And so, like, you know, we've learned weather changes, you know, on a dime. We've been in hurricanes, fires, tornadoes, I mean, a little bit of everything. Not a tsunami
Yeah,
or a
there's a
cyclone yet.
tornado song on the new album as well, actually.
See, I know I'm going to start playing that when we go through Kansas. Well, it's Oklahoma has it, Texas has it, Louisiana. I mean, everyone's getting tornadoes now. It's like not just in Kansas. So talk about movement. Those kinds of changes are happening in real life now, and we're seeing it in the weather, and that changes the landscape enormously. What's happening with climate change, with you know, storms, and then we're seeing animals change their habits, and wildlife and birds are changing their habits. So we're all kind of on the move, and I think nature has always known, and you know, ancestral people have always known to be on the move, and being nomadic is just fine. And I think the younger generation now has embraced that as, you know, as a lifestyle, which it hasn't been like that forever, but, because
Yeah.
when we started doing all of our traveling stuff, people looked at us like we were odd, and we still get that. And I don't really care, but
Well,
you know.
it is tricky. I mean, like, because there is some kind of like weird dissonance between, obviously, like the stuff that we're talking about, and like how maybe that's one of the insidious things about climate change is that it happens so slowly that it feels just like another one of these, you know, constant changes that we as humans have learned to live with, you know, over the millennia that we've been hanging around. And it's harder for, like, you know, one human consciousness to perceive like a trend towards like one, you know, like in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
So
it's
it's
weird.
hard to like to separate to like on one hand become okay with like how the, you know, the world operating naturally shifts and changes and morphs and moves in all these like cool and interesting
That's
ways.
what's cool about
But
geology, man. That
that I
really
think we
shows.
should. Oh, totally. Yeah. In all these ways that are like, you know, good and you know, like scary but wonderful. And then like other ways that are like, I don't know, it's annoying that we there that now we have to. It's kind of like how like in January when it's warm out now, you can't appreciate a warm day. You have to think like, ah, man, like this is probably really bad.
This is not good. Yeah, I know, but like England's, growing grapes and making wine now. And so there's these weird, and I'm like, go England, make some more wine, It's like,
Yeah.
but at the
Yeah, I
same
guess you're
time,
right.
it's
It's
like,
like
that's
a
not a
type of
good thing.
adaptation.
But it's weird. Like, we're in Louisiana right now when we're recording and they're having a drought. And I'm going, what? So
Yeah.
and Minnesota was
Yeah, I was
having
just
a
in
drought when we were in
Kansas.
Minnesota. I'm like, this doesn't look like a drought to me, but it's a drought to
It's a
them.
very,
And
yeah. I was
yeah,
just in Kansas a few weeks ago. Serious drought in Kansas. They haven't had, there's like all the creek beds are dry and
that's
yeah,
scary,
very, very
man.
real.
We've been through some wildlife refuges in Texas and New Mexico that are some of the top winter birding, spring winter birding refuges in the country, and there's zero water. And we were watching dust devils, and I filmed them. And I'm going, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Like, I'm trying to promote people going to parks, and then I'm like, I want you to know the reality. And sometimes some of it is agriculture draining water. I think there's some interesting things on that that I can't get into because I'm not a specialist on it. But we all know it ain't good. But
Yeah,
and
that is a thing.
yeah, that's a
That
real
is
thing that's
famously a
happened.
thing.
Yeah, it's not good for anybody, right? So the farmers need water too, and the farmers really are good about, from our experience in interviewing, numerous farmers. Farmers do not waste water. I think most of us in our
Think
households
especially in
waste
the
water more,
totally. Yeah, I think especially in as you get towards like the Southwest, where like water has always been very precious. Like
Yeah, it's so different. Like, we just drove from North Carolina to Tucson to go to Louisiana to go to Texas. This is how our life is. You understand this. And just to
Yeah,
go
we live
through, like,
inefficiently.
there's like water, there's humidity, and then all of a sudden we're back in the desert Southwest, and my skin goes, what is this? And I'm like, the desert. You lived in the desert. Like, what? Your body goes, oh, and you have to acclimate to this. That's the other cool thing is to acclimate to place. That's cool to me, is to kind of watch how your body reacts to places and water, even. Water is movement,
Yeah, your body moves slower than your brain, in my experience, a lot of the time. Like the, like you can your brain can readapt to where you're at. And then, for instance, I just came back from the Midwest to I played in Maine last night, and I was freezing. It was not, and it wasn't even like it was like 30 degrees. It wasn't even that bad. I think I just like. It was so new to me. I was like wearing like two sweaters and a big coat and like walking
How
around
we
town.
feel. Well,
Felt like a
yeah, that
crazy
and
person.
no, we're like that. Nancy's always cold, and I'm always like, what? And then, oh, we're fine. No, we're not.
I'm
No, we're fine.
usually
No, we're not.
hot, so it's disturbing to know that I can also be cold so easily.
I'm not a fan of the cold. I am not. And at the same time, there's also the t just time zone stuff. Like, stop it, people. I always get screwed up. And can't we just all be in the same time zone? But also, movement, going, keeping with your theme of movement with your album Bearings, it's also really cool to experience sunrise and sunset in different parts of the country. There's a
Totally.
connectivity about it of how, which way you're driving. Oh, I'm going
Yeah,
into the
I
sun,
do think it is good that there are time zones so that everybody's sun rises in the morning and sets at night. But
I know.
yeah, it is. Yeah, sprinting, especially since this month was daylight savings shift. So I was already thrown off when I began like spreading across three time zones, and now I truly have no idea what time it is.
Well, I know, and your body, like, people go, well, what time do you get up? And we're like, whatever time we get at 4 o'clock in the morning, because that way our bases are covered no matter where we are. It's like, we're up at four.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it
is. It's always early.
That's fine. It doesn't matter where we are. It's like, if, you know, but it is weird about time zones. But being, watching the sunrise and sunset in different places, does that do anything for you as a musician?
I never really thought about sunrise and sunset specifically. I do think about like
that
windows
process.
Of light. I thought about like when you, like places where you're in the dark for longer, in the dark and the light for longer. But I never really, like, yeah.
Just how the sun and then, like how it switches over to the moon. And I'm not talking about like the romantic, oh, let's, you know, sunrise on the beach thing. I'm talking about like just, it's so different in some places. Like, I don't know if it's the seasons. I really don't know. I need to call a, you know, a weather person or something. But some sunrises, like you were talking about Kansas. Holy cow. Kansas has some of the best sunrises I have ever experienced on the planet.
That is,
I
mean, true. It like takes over the whole sun immediately.
Yeah.
Or the whole
is
sky.
It because of the prairie? And it's like when you get an egg and it's like, you know, for breakfast, it's like the dark orange, beautiful egg. Like, you know, it's fresh. It's from the farm. Happy chicken kind of experience, you know. And that's what I look at. You know, Bob Dylan said, the sun's not yellow, it's chicken. Anyway,
it's chicken. Yeah,
and now
I know
gonna
exactly
go, this
what you're
is
talking
the
about.
yolk. We've got the runny yolk sunrise, and that happens in Kansas. I've never been to Kansas without that, and I maybe it's because it's
That's funny.
prairie
That's
and all those reflective lights and everything.
Oh, and a very like moist atmosphere, and like,
yeah, that
yeah, I
changes
wonder,
things too,
there's
doesn't
so
it?
many factors to, I really
Ooh.
like, I mean, adjacent to what we're talking about, the in Maine, where I mostly live right now, the light during this time of year is really as good as it gets. It's like, it's kind of like bleak and denuded, but it comes in at all these weird angles because it's so far north.
And
So
white.
you always have these kind of, everything looks exactly, it's, yeah, it's like there's no color in it at all. Every and the day is so short that it's like every room you're in looks like an Edward Hopper painting, you know. It's always these like
That's
like
crazy.
theater spotlight angles of light.
Oh wow.
Very cool
I'm
stuff.
like thinking like an Edward Hopper, Dylan Thomas thing happening now. Like, it's kind of crazy in my brain when you think. But there is a light. We actually did an interview with same artist Victoria Chick, because we did this whole thing on the Southwest on how all these artists, you know, flocked to the Southwest because of the light. And then we went to Wisconsin and had like the winter of snowstorms. And like for everybody there, they didn't think it was a big deal at all. We're like, holy cow, man, we're dying. This is cold. But we were in Madison, Wisconsin. So there's pink flamingos all throughout the city from the university.
Yes,
And so there was like pink
that
flamingos
is a
in the
thing.
snow everywhere. And I'm like, this rocks. This is the best thing on the
Oh,
planet. So this
interesting.
is cool.
Do you know where pink flamingos were invented?
Invented. I know about the legend behind the Madison ones, but I did not know like the actual pink flamingos, like what are in Florida
Actual
and
pink
Madison.
flamingo, so like pink flamingo, the like the plastic thing,
Yeah.
was invented in Leominster, Massachusetts, which is like
No.
five miles from where I am right now.
No way. Are we going to have a pink flamingo conversation? Why do they always end up on these podcasts? He's next to the pink flamingo factory, Nancy. Now, see,
yeah,
she's
he's
looking at me like, why don't we talk about pink flamingos again? I don't
he
know.
was
What
yeah, it was
happened?
invented by, oh my God, I wish I could remember the guy's name, but he was this
That's
sort of
crazy.
eccentric
That's
dude who
crazy.
lived in Leominster in the mid-century. The only other thing I can remember about him is that his he and his wife wore exactly the same clothes every day for all their lives.
Oh my gosh, really? Like they were twins?
Featherstone, I think.
Oh,
I want to say
wow.
his name was Featherstone.
But pink flamingos. Who decided to make a, like, what was it that said, okay, I'm going to make a plastic
I think
pink
he thought it
flamingo?
would be like people will buy this. It's a like a quirky thing, and it was like right at that moment in American culture where it like coincided with the
Tiki
like
bars.
explosion of suburbia, and yeah, exactly. Like tiki bar culture was huge.
Yeah, I think the tiki bar. Well, we were in the Salton Sea area a couple of years back. It was
Oh,
right before COVID, and we
I
were
could talk to you
driving
about
up.
the Salton Sea for 1,000 years.
Yeah, well, that's the whole weird thing on salt, right? Too, and now they want to drill it for lithium, I think. And we're out there, and we're on our way to our friend's place in 29 Palms, where we ended up having a shelter in place and at our bed and breakfast there. And we used to be neighbors; we're real good friends. And go, and we're at the Salton Sea, and someone stuck a pink flamingo in the Salton Sea, which I thought was hysterical. So I take this photo and I put it up on Instagram. I think it was my old account. You wouldn't believe how many people thought it was a real flamingo. Honest to God. And smart people that I know thought it so.
The only bird that can live in the Salton Sea is a plastic flamingo.
Well, yeah, that kind of is it, right? I mean, that thing is, it's like toxic there. It's a crazy place. So you spent time there, obviously. Did
It's
you go
very
to all the crazy
a little
places
bit.
there
It's
too?
kind of it's sort of like the only place I've ever been that has felt like evil.
There is a
Like
weird
this,
vibe.
nothing about this is good. I need to leave immediately.
It's a
There's like, yeah,
weird,
just everything is,
weird,
there's like
yeah.
bugs everywhere. There's like, it's like, I think like a lot of well-intentioned things that all went wrong in sequence to create the Salton
I think
Sea.
it's when people try to play God and create nature
Yeah, it is.
its
It is.
own
It's
way.
like, it is like a per, yeah, you create a hell gate in Southern
For
California.
money, yep, greed.
Well, money, but like also just like survival for that area. It's like
Yeah,
Imperial
well,
County is very like you need water. It's like it was kind of like it
and
was
it's an
originally created for
agricultural
that,
area.
right? It's like
Well, it's agricultural
yeah,
too,
it's like
so
dairy,
it's
yeah.
part of it. The Imperial County is very interesting, and I think I did so much back roads driving. Before podcasting, we were Southwest Blend magazine, print. We were print, like way back when, and online as well. And that's how we got our start. Our magazine started 26 years ago. We're so old now. And we're like, all right, we're going to take a day off. But I used to drive all the back roads of the Southwest, like really, south of Nevada, pretty much. And we just that whole area, I know all the back roads. It's crazy, like through Mecca. Like if you go up from the Salton
Oh,
Sea up through
wow.
Mecca, you get this, that, you know where I'm talking about, these
I
agricultural
do, yeah.
communities.
Kind of
And
along the
there's,
Colorado River.
I saw a rosy boa snake there once, and I was like, that is the coolest thing on the planet. Like rosy boas in the desert are just, they're pink. And I mean, they talk about pink flamingos to pink snakes. They are, you, if you see one, you are so lucky to see them. It's, and they are rosy, they're not bright pink, but they're this rosy snake in the desert. And I saw one going through Mecca, and I love going through Mecca because it feels like you could be like in the good, bad, and the ugly at any time. Someone's going to come off a hill and like get you with an arrow or something. It feels also very Middle Eastern to me going through there to 29 Palms. And then you can
Oh
see the
yeah, very like
landscape
high
change.
desert. Yeah.
Yeah, you're actually in the low, you're more in the Colorado Desert. And so when
Oh
you go
yeah.
from Mecca
Right.
up into Joshua Tree, you can go like, it's kind of like even the Sonoran Desert is kind of meeting in the on the eastern part of it, like a little bit, like a teeny bit. But there's all these crossroads of deserts, and when you go out there, it's like it feels weird and different. Like there's just places in like geologically that are fascinating to me, and you feel the change in the movement. Like desert shifts and earthquakes shift things. And you feel like you
Right.
can feel it if you want to feel it, and you stop and chill out in those places. And then you get into Joshua Tree, go up towards 29 Palms through the park, and you can see the desert change, like Toya Cactus start going into boulders and Joshua trees and, into the high desert that you're talking about. It's in, and then we're in the Mojave, it's amazing to be part of those, to be able to travel through those changes. Like Salton Sea is still Colorado Desert and to the west of it is Anzabrego Desert State Park, and it's like what 600,000 acres of desert. I think it's the largest desert state park in California, at least. I don't know if the country. Have you did you
Is
do
it really?
Anzabrego too? Yeah, it's 600,000 acres. That's huge for a state
Whoa,
park.
that is huge.
Yeah,
Wow,
we used
I
to
didn't
camp out
realize
there.
that.
You can go camp anywhere there. They have backcountry camping.
There
You
is.
just go park and camp. And I've done it tons of
I
times.
know. I
It's
always get a
cool.
little. I mean, my entire life is spent in cars that will die at any moment. So I always feel very, very vulnerable in deserts
Don't put that juju
where.
on us. Don't you do that? Because our
I know.
listen, the bottom of our car is
This
zip
is
tied.
more
I'm
about
not
my
kidding.
neuroses than
No,
your
the bottom.
juju.
No, the bottom of our car, the plastic covering is zip tied. Some guy in Walmart oil change zip tied it for us because it's falling down from going on stupid roads. So, but you've, yeah,
We have
Anzabrego.
similar philosophies in that case.
Yeah, it's sometimes you just zip tie it. Just that's all you need to do. So yeah, so you've been all over. Now I remember last year you were at 49 states. Have you made it to the 50th state?
No,
Oh,
it's not a priority.
Delaware?
No,
Delaware, still Delaware.
I think it'll I drive through Delaware all the time.
But you haven't performed there
Because I'm
yet.
honest. Nope. No. And I love Delaware. So it seems
I'm
like
gonna call me
it's
some
kind of like
friends.
one of the quirkiest states in the country.
You never know if you're in Delaware or Maryland or like I still get flown
Yeah,
in.
they're both kind of they're kind of it seems like Delaware was created out of like a legal excuse to not be part of Maryland. But yeah, no, I've just the problem I've backed into now is that because I played in every other state, like to play in Delaware would be like a huge deal. And since no one in Delaware knows who the heck I am, it would like no one would come to a show. So it would have to be like yeah, I'd have to wait for the right thing to happen. I wouldn't want to like go down and play in a bar in Delaware and like knock it off the list. I feel like I'll
It has
wait.
to
And
be
either
good. It
I,
has to be epic.
yeah, either I die having played in 49 states, or like a really cool
No.
thing happens in Delaware that I'll go down there for.
Well, if
Doesn't
you
seem impossible. There's a lot of cool stuff in Delaware.
Oh, it's so interesting
I'm
being from that
optimistic.
area.
I think if I were like working with like a, I don't know, like a park or something down there, that would feel justified.
Can't you do
But
something with the
I'm
Chesapeake
not going to go
Bay
down and
people?
like play in the.
They own that
Maybe would there?
bridge.
Well, no part of Delaware is on the Chesapeake Bay. I don't think they're
It
all.
isn't.
It's
I see.
all.
This is where I'm twirled around because we're okay. So what's the Delmarva thing again? Delaware,
Del. Yes, but so the
Virginia.
Delmarva, Delaware, Maryland. Or like Maryland's Eastern Shore and all of Delaware and that little weird detail of Virginia that I don't understand
I
why
had
it's
a
part of
fun
Virginia.
time in Virginia. I had a fun time there, but the
But the
this is
Chesapeake Bay is
interesting.
also the west of that peninsula.
Okay,
So
so
that
you can play on
peninsula
the
is.
bridge. Like I was just thinking that crazy bridge.
Yeah,
You can play
it
on the
would be cool
bridge,
to play on
sit
that
up and
bridge.
play. I think you,
The
yeah,
bridge is
this is.
entirely within Virginia.
Hmm.
Yeah. Or
Oh,
maybe,
wow.
I mean, I don't even know how that works. That might be like, if you leave state. No, it's probably still close enough to. That bridge is wild, but you're talking about the Chesapeake Bay Bridge?
Yeah, that nay
Where
nay,
you,
not
where,
for
yeah.
me. This is
You
where I
kind of.
close my eyes and keep driving and have white knuckles.
Oh my
And
God, I
Nancy
love it.
freaks out.
You kind of like, it's like being a dolphin. You go underwater, you pop back up. You go underwater, you pop back up.
Yep, it's okay for other people to do it. I just listen to Bob Marley, like Bob Marley on mountain passes and bridges, and I'm okay. If I don't do Bob Marley, it's out. It's like a hypnotism thing that I've done to my brain, like. This is what you're going to play and you'll be fine. It's your okay song. It's all going to be all right. just do that. It'll be fine. You'll get across. But now I want to go back to
mean,
your
he's been
touring.
right so far.
He's always right. Bob Marley is always right. And we need more Bob Marley in the world. I'm just saying. But with Bearings now out, it just released, right? October. So that's exciting. So now you're touring. I know we are always touring and traveling. Are you doing any more residencies that we should know about, especially for 2024?
I just began. It's funny you should ask. I can't remember if you were recording yet or not when we talked about this, but I was in, I just got back to New England yesterday from this new residency I'm doing in with the Upper Minnesota, or, oh my God, sorry, the Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge, which
Oh.
runs from like roughly like Winona, Minnesota, down through all along the river through one of my favorite parts of the country, the Driftless area. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, and kind of stops just a little bit north of the Quad Cities.
Wow, that's huge.
So huge, but
We've been to it then.
it's very interestingly, it was created. The reason I'm their first artist in residence, and they brought me out there because their 100th anniversary is next year.
Ooh.
And the refuge, it was created because of like the it was like around the time that the lower Mississippi River was being kind of like terraformed into like kind of what it is now. These like a lot of the lower Mississippi River is very agricultural. There's all these kind of floodplain like fields that are like protected by levee. Actually, probably not far from where you are too. Like what a lot of the Mississippi River has wrought. And like a weirdly like a fisherman was like, "What? No." And because it would have made this like a narrow, it would have converted the whole upper Mississippi River into like this narrow shipping channel. And then a bunch of, levee protected fields. And so instead of
Interesting.
that, what it is now, which is like this series of locks and dams and like various pools. So they're like, it's sort of like strategically flooded in places. And they've rebuilt a bunch of islands that allow like the bird populations that have migrated along this corridor for ages and ages and ages to keep doing that. And it's the refuge kind of coexists on land owned by the Army Corps of Engineers,
That's
all
interesting.
along that. Yeah, it's really, really fascinating. I'm learning kind of more and more about it every day. So don't quote me on too many of these facts, but this is what I'm thinking about right now.
That's how I feel like. Yeah, it's so because there's so much to all of it, right? When you go to a park, it's like, and you have as a resident, like when you were in Hawaii Volcanoes with National Parks Arts Foundation, being an artist in residence, don't you get to have a little bit more like inside information of the park, like some of the archives, being able to dig into those.
People are more forthcoming with it. That's for sure. Like you have to kind of know what to ask for, I find. But I've done a bunch of artist residencies now, and I find that the best way to go about them is to kind of go into the, explain that like these are the things I'm interested in, and this is what I have historically written about, and this is why I want to be there. And then when you get there, never go in with any idea about what you want to say about the place. I feel like you have to kind of spend all your time there learning as much as you can. And then, at the end of it, maybe a year later, you create a thing that is, a response to all the stuff that you've sponged up during that time. But right now I'm in the sponging stage, so I don't
Ah,
yet
that's
know what I'm going to
exciting.
say about the. Yeah.
I'm glad
Like
that you
when
do
I went to
stuff on the
Hawaii, I
Midwest.
only knew that I, yeah. Oh my God, yeah, I love the Midwest. Big Midwestern.
I just feel like people need to know more about it and about the region, and there's just a simplicity to life there, and I think people appreciate like the good
Yeah.
weather, right?
Well, good, yeah, I don't know. It's famously kind of bad weather.
No.
We're in like Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Oof. Some crazy weather over there, but it's beautiful too. But the sun is
It is
not warm.
beautiful. Yes.
Now, when you're in Massachusetts, is
Oh,
the
that's true.
sun warm in winter, or is it still like there's nothing? It's nice
No, it's
to see
cold.
light. That's
No,
weird, isn't it?
winter in New England is, if you go north enough, it's nice because it's just like
Ooh,
Her and
have you ever
Christine.
seen the Northern Lights?
You know what? I don't think I have.
Ah, we almost saw them, and then it
I've
was
seen
too overcast. And when we were in Minocqua, they were coming, and it just was nope. I
I'm
know
just
that, like,
never been
it.
in the right place at the right time.
No, well, Dr. John will sing to you then, you know, I've been in the right place.
Last
But
time
hey,
we're in the
this is,
wrong.
I know there's so much stuff to experience. Do you feel like, as much as you've been traveling on the road, do you feel like you've seen a whole bunch, or do you feel still like sometimes we go places, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I have to start over and I've never done anything. Like sometimes, you know, there's these like moments of I'm still so far away from knowing anything, because the more you start learning, sometimes you feel like, holy cow, I know nothing. You know what I mean? And I
Oh,
mean this in a
yeah.
positive way.
Yeah. No, I'm very comfortable in that line of thinking, I think. I had a really, really great teacher of I took a nonfiction writing class in college
And people need to know
with a
you're an
guy who
essayist and a writer, environmental, you know, you everyone just
Oh
go to
yeah, whatever.
benmosgrove.com. He does a lot.
Whatever people will pay me to do, but he has this really great piece of advice that I've thought about like alarmingly frequently. But he said like the thing about being a generalist, because he was a generalist, he was like a magazine writer. He would write, you know, for Harper's and The New Yorker and New York Times
Oh.
Magazine about the kind of, but he didn't really have a beat. It would be like, you know, here's this story, here's this story. He said like the thing about being a generalist is that, you know, you're always going to be the dumbest person in the room wherever you go, and you have to like embrace that. And I remember hearing that at the time and thinking, like, you know, I can do that. So I've spent my whole career being the dumbest person in the room, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I
I'm the
think
dumbest
that's
person
how.
in the room, but I'm also the only person that can convert the conversation into like a piece of piano music, so it helps
I
me
know,
feel
that's what I was going to
useful in
ask.
some
How
way.
are you doing this on the road? How are you traveling? And how did you put bearings out when you do so much travel? Did you like take notes and then go to one place? Like what you're saying when you actually recorded it, right? You go to one place and do
Well, I
all of
guess
that, but.
we sort of skipped over the an important fact about how Bearings happened, and which makes it different from all of my other albums, is that the kind of animating concept behind it, and the thing that holds all the songs together, is that instead of doing what I normally do, which is like obsessively overthink all of these songs before I record them, like make sure they're like, you know, exactly the way I want them down to the note, and then go to the studio. I decided that, because I was thinking a lot about how I kind of engage with landscapes in real life, like kind of what we've been talking about, which is a lot of like, I feel like I need to kind of move around, like walk over them and see them from 50 different angles before I feel like I kind of understand them at all, or like know how I feel about them. And I thought a good way to illustrate that would be to book all the studio time and then go in with nothing pre-written, just like a list of all the landscapes I wanted to write about and the ideas I wanted to write about and the concepts I wanted to write about, but no notes, like, or no musical notes, rather. No music pre-written. So every one of the songs on Bearings is kind of an improvisation. I knew
Wow.
the thing I wanted to illustrate, but I had to like move as fast as I could in the studio at that time, and I would give myself like five takes, six takes to kind of like
Wow.
carve out a song, but I had to do it as fast as I could.
Wow.
And that
You
felt
know what?
very, it
Oh,
really served it
real.
well, I think. The volcano one in particular, I think, was like because it's all about movement and like finding your way to something, each take of that song kind of landed someplace different. And I liked that's exactly how a volcano would work, you know? Kind
Well,
of
that
starts the
and
same
then,
way, and then all
but
this lava
yeah.
belches everywhere, and then like winds up someplace else.
Did you like look at photos to take you back to those places or meditate or anything to kind of take you back? Because when you are in these parks, right, I think texture is everything. Like you could walk through, like in a prairie, there could be, you know, frost on the grass, you know, and just that crunch or
Totally.
those sounds, right? So there's all these
Yeah.
textures
Yeah. When
in a park.
Yeah, I think what the pre-recording work that I did was a lot of whenever I do a residency, like when I was in Hawaii, I was like journaling a lot. So every day, every time I observed something, I'd write about it. And then I'll kind of like chew on that for a while. So what, like by the time I went in to do my song about volcanoes, I knew the point I wanted to make by doing it, you know? Like this will be a song about this, and maybe it'll have like roughly this shape. But I tried to stop myself from thinking beyond that before the,
Yeah, you don't
you
over
know. And
edit
then
or
once the initial,
overproduce. Yeah.
don't overproduce before you record it. And then, but then after all the piano stuff was done, then my friend Dan Cardinal and I produced the album. We then spent like another 8 months, like. Obsessively producing it. So there's all these cool layers of
Oh,
like,
okay.
synthesizers and percussion and stuff underneath all the piano parts
But do
that
you
I
feel
think
like, in a
help.
way, that by you doing this improvisation, it's like it's almost like being, it's kind of, it's a challenge, right? But it's also, in a way, very purist. And I don't mean purist in the, white linens kind of thing. I mean purist in like it's just in the integrity to the land and to your feelings, emotion, and allowing some that other you're allowing the process to take to have its space as well. So it's not like I've written it,
Absolutely.
this is perfect, and this has to be, but I'm going to allow the process to also be like a co-creator. That makes any sense.
No, it does. Totally, absolutely. And that was like a big part of it. Like a
Wow.
big part of wanting to record this album this way was like because I felt like the process was kind of, I wanted the process to reflect again, like the experience of a landscape, like how you discover a place and like learn its contours and find out how it goes. Like I like the idea that you have to kind of like move around the piano to find the song in much the same way that I move around the landscape to find like what I want to write about.
I think this is weird, and maybe we talked about this on the last podcast, because I think you're one of the few people we talk to on the show that do what we all do kind of thing. And when you travel so much, we always talk about like when you go somewhere, you're leaving your mark in some way, even if it's a footprint. As they say, don't leave your trash, you leave only a footprint. But even that,
Leave only
I
footprints.
feel it. Yeah. There's something you, I feel like there's a, and I'm not trying to be woo woo and weird, but there is like you've left something there energetically. And I call it deja vu dust, that it, like you're, when you leave, something from that place has actually attached itself to you. And when you go back, that's part of a new landscape, like what we're talking about, that movement thing. And you go back, it's going to be, you're going to find similar, you're going to find like things you remember, and then things have changed. And yet you can
Totally.
still kind of go back to that weird sense memory, that it's smell, it's sight, it's text. There's just an atmosphere even. And sometimes you can go back to a place and go, all right, the atmosphere is so changed, I'm not into it anymore. And not normally in a park, but maybe think I've seen things in parks that I'm like, public lands and stuff, some of them that I'm like, oh, like somebody clear cut all this forest that I used to really love. Now my feeling doesn't feel that great after that. So things like that
Yeah.
is a weird thing, but I feel like there's something that we internalize, and then that's kind of from listening to you and listening to your music so much, I feel like that you're pretty much processing that as you let
Every
that co-creation happen.
place is just a place in time, you know? It's like the and it's at that that's been a hard thing for me to kind of reckon with in writing music about it, but I, in a way it's kind of freeing, you know.
So are you going to write a book to go with your music? Like if you've written all
I
these journals, right,
don't
and then
know.
do something, it would be kind of cool to have like, here's the album, here's a book, like actual tactile things, right? Maybe the LP or, but here's the actual, like a book of journaling that you can, obviously edit up as you want with some illustrations or photos or something, so that people can kind of see that behind the scenes kind of like a Christopher
Oh, no.
Columbus, I think. You
If
know what
any
I
of your
mean?
listeners, if any of your listeners are literary agents, tell them to write to me.
It would be cool. It would be cool,
It
you
would be
know,
cool.
to have.
I would love to do that at some point, but
It's a lot of work on top of everything,
it's a
right?
lot of work.
So,
It's a lot of work. I would want to know it was going somewhere, I think, before I started it. We'll see.
being an artist in
Maybe one of these
residence
days.
has so many parks, right? Do you think doing things like Hawaii volcanoes helps you as an artist, you know, in your resume and to go do other residencies? Like, the more residencies you have, does that help you get more residencies?
I would say 1,000%, but maybe not in the way you mean. I think I don't really get asked for my resume very often, like
It's about your
I've never
point
had to
of.
like it's more kind of that it helps me. Every residency I do provides like a writing prompt, like here, write a song about Hawaii Volcano National Park. Write a song about the Upper Mississippi National Wildlife Refuge.
Cool.
And it helps me kind of build up my catalog of piano music, and it gives me new things to talk about on stage every night. And it kind of helps me. I mean, I care a lot about these places, and I care a lot about the institutions that support them. And it makes me feel kind of helpful by highlighting them every night, as I go about my,
I think it's awesome that you're shining the spotlight on parks when you perform. You know, that's such a cool thing for people to
I feel very
understand
lucky to be
that
able to do
listening.
it.
Yeah, I think
But
it's
so
cool.
yeah, in that sense, I absolutely it helps me. I've never really thought of it as a like the more of these you do, the easier it is to get other ones kind of
Like a
thing.
business,
It's
right?
like,
I know what you mean. I'm just saying, does it help, like, for an art other
it's not a,
artists
it's.
doing it? You know, because artists look at doing residency and it's for you travel, so it's part of your lifestyle. But for other artists, you know, whether it's a painter or a musician or a writer, it's like, oh, I'm going to take a month off. That's like, we all say, yay, that's cool. But it's not a month off, and it
Yeah,
is
exactly. I
an
think
application process, and it is work to do, but the value is so massive if you can pull it off and take away from it, you know.
I think you have to care about. I do hear from a lot of people who know that I've done a lot of artist residencies and want to, just like asking for recommendations and things. But in a lot of cases, they are looking for, like, I just need to take 2 months to, like, get away from my, my job and my toddler and work on a novel. And that's not, I've never done a residency like that. They're always kind of like,
Yeah, it doesn't
they're,
work that
I
way.
mean, the most productive residencies I've done, I've always been like, very uncomfortable. Like in many, like this isn't the first one. This one in Minnesota and Wisconsin is not the first one I've done where I'm the first time they've had an artist in residence.
That's cool because you
And
can
we're
work
kind of like
together
figuring
to
it
make
out.
the experience better for everybody, you
Yeah, like
know.
exactly.
You're a
So it's it
pioneer.
never could, yeah. Or I don't know.
Her, he's
But I'm just
a
like I'm yeah, exactly. I'm me and my covered wagon, we go from
her
But yeah,
with
no,
zip
for
ties.
me it's more about like finding I find it exciting to be presented with like please like wander around this place and figure out what's weird or interesting about it and like make something about it. That
Well,
I'll do that forever.
I know that's how we feel about going to communities too, and parks, communities, and we're always trying to put the park and community closer and the visiting community closer to the park to understand the roots, the history, the geology, the nature, all of those amazing facets that you know about. And one thing we tend to see in just about every place we go is that we'll find something absolutely fascinating that is completely like, oh, yeah, we see this every day. And or that we, you know, we see it so much that we don't realize how, you know, amazing it is. And we see that especially more in the community than in the park, because the park rangers and whether it's a wildlife refuge or a national park are always like, yeah, check this out, check this out. And they get so excited if you are excited about something or find something new. And sometimes there's questions and they're like, hey, I don't know. Now we're going to go find somebody who does know, and that's exciting for everybody. And so to me, that's interesting. But there's also that, I find that in park communities, you could be living at the base of Mount Rainier and go, oh yeah, I see it every day. Who cares? I haven't been to the park since I was a kid. And now they're like in their 60s or 70s. That can happen to people. And I'm like, I do you go places like if you where you're at a park and you go, dude, if I lived here, I'd be in this park every morning walking or doing something. You know what I mean? Whereas sometimes.
It's hard to guard against, though. I mean, I feel like it happens everywhere. I mean, even places that aren't parks. Like, I live, like, I mean, just like for an easy example, Portland, Maine. It's like you can walk around this town every day, and like there's just like gorgeous, commanding views of Casco Bay, and you can see like ships coming in, and like all these islands kind of like reaching out to the horizon, and like. Most of the time when I'm there, I don't think about that at all. I'm thinking about like where I've got to be, like how I'm gonna like oh like where oh I can't park on this side of the street
Yeah,
tonight.
this is life. That's the thing, life. That
Exactly.
is where life
It's
gets in the way of, yeah,
so
while you're busy making other plans, it
I
just
do feel like
you're
a part of my work. And I think like I mean certainly of yours as well is like reminding people to pay attention to the broader circumstances of their surroundings, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And doing
Like
it every morning
wherever
is
you
so
are is
beautiful.
probably beautiful in some way, and you just have to kind of like think about the ways in which that is true in
I
more of your
don't
day-to-day
know
life.
one place. No, I do. It's just, you have to realize sometimes you have bad trips.
There are some bad places.
There's some bad trips that you experience in life, right? And so you can't nail it. You go back to that place at a different time, in a different season, and see in a different circumstance and see if you like it. So you can't really say, this place sucks, because
I know
sometimes
it's
it's
true.
just a circumstance. There's a couple places, and I think only one, really one in this country on our tour that I'm like, hell no, I'm never going back. And it's not true. We will. But right now, no. And I'm not saying it
Well, it's funny.
on
I
the air.
remember we were, I mean, to go back to what we were talking about at the beginning, maybe this will like tie it up. We talked about the Salton Sea, which like is the most unpleasant place I think I've ever been. Yet there are things about it that I find kind of that are like endlessly fascinating and like weirdly beautiful. I don't know. I feel like if you look at any place long enough, you'll find things that are,
Well, help me with Salt Lake City, okay? Because that's my problem. It's like my
Holy
problem child
City.
is,
Oh man, I can
see?
that I mean it is a weird one.
It is. And when we went to the Salt Lake, we're like, really? And then I'm like, no, it's interesting geology. So it's like, you have the only way to get through it is to deep dive into it.
I'll send you my favorite photograph that I've ever taken. I took on the Great Salt Lake.
Are you kidding me? Well, I'm going to send you a
Yeah,
photo of a pink
absolutely.
flamingo.
It's
So there it is.
exactly. I'll send you an article about the guy that created the pink flamingo. But yeah,
Amazing.
there's a great used bookstore in Salt Lake City.
Actually, the Capitol complex I thought had some great art, and there was some nice parts. So no matter what, I always find something positive, and it was just an interesting experience that we had, and it was built up with other circumstances. So that's what I'm saying. You can go to a place
The
like,
widest streets anywhere in America.
well, you know what it is? Sometimes you have a, and travelers go through this all the time. And it's so important that, like, to shake off the travel blues, right? You could be on the road and go through car accidents and all kinds of stuff, right? And be late at a place. By the time you get to your destination, you're completely pissed off, not a happy camper or upset or tired. Well, you're just, your attitude's not where it should be. And that can affect the community that you're in. That can have distort your view. And it's so important sometimes to just go to bed and get up. Like, just close it down, close whatever your external, like they say, don't bring your personal luggage to work. It's the same thing when you travel, get rid of it. If you can, or sometimes travel helps you move through it, but don't allow it to poison the water that you're standing in, and I think that kind of
that's a
happened with
good.
Salt Lake City a little bit. It's like, don't, like, wherever you're going, you can have your baggage, but don't put it on the town. Don't lay it there. Don't do it. And that's just being a responsible traveler. Don't be crabby. Like, get on with it, you know? So
It's hard. Yeah, it's true. You aren't allowed, for better or for worse.
No. Well, Ben, it has been more than a pleasure having you back on the show. Please keep us posted about the Mississippi River, the Upper Mississippi River, residency that you're
Absolutely.
doing. We really would love to hear how that goes and whatever we can do to promote it. We absolutely are here to do that. So
Oh, well,
always.
yeah, let's be t thank you. Thank you for listening to Bearings. I really
Oh my
appreciate your kind words
God,
about the new
Nancy and I
album.
love it. Nancy will be making a video. Make no mistake. There, it
Excellent. Oh,
just
I can't
it.
wait to see
No, because she's just like, I want to make a video. I want to make a video. I want to make. I'm like, okay, dude, like,
it.
stop saying that so we can keep hearing the music. Like, I'll ask, you know. So she really wants to do that, and because there is so much texture, you have so much texture in your music, which means you get out and observe the small and the big, you know. It you can't observe
Yeah.
the big and take wonder without looking at the small things. So
That's
I
what
really
landscape is
appreciate
all
that.
about.
I love it. See, that's it. I
Wow.
always take a photo of, I don't care about taking a close up of a bald eagle. I want the bald eagle in the landscape far away so people understand its habitat. You know,
Yeah.
that's the thing. It's important
Cool stuff.
to, yeah, it's good stuff. Everyone, bencosgrove.com. Of course, the National Parks Arts Foundation. Go check them out at nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Awesome residencies for artists, musicians, writers, poets, filmmakers, photographers, you name it. Whatever you do in the arts, check it out. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much, Ben, and have a wonderful rest of the year.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you again.
You too. Thank you for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's first Friday Toast to the Arts and Park Show with the National Parks Arts Foundation. Learn more about their amazing park artist residency programs. Go to nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.